Get in on all the sports action and your chance to win up to 100 times your cash with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League Two after 15 long seasons of exile in the National League. Dedicated staff and passionate supporters celebrate the city's return to glory, the big time, all while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in that higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One's promised land? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network. Suboptimal Radio.
Tyler, the day I saw him when he was 15 years old playing with the U17s, I literally that day envisioned him captaining the World Cup team. And that's no bullshit.
This is Rog, day 9 of the Men's World Cup, and it only feels like it's been going on for about 6 months in my life, but I am filled with joy today to welcome, ahead of our nation's epic, definitive rumble against Iran tomorrow afternoon, a trailblazing American, the pride of Racine, Wisconsin, via Leeds. A gent who became only the second American-born human in our nation's history to take the reins at a Premier League club when he became manager of mighty Leeds United. And I admire him so
What's
much.
What's up, Roger? How are we doing, buddy?
He doesn't want to hear any of this. He hates all of this.
Yeah, it's time to stop.
I admire you as a leader, as a bloke, as a gentleman who is making the most of this time of Premier League pause and global footballing wonder. It's a joy to welcome. You've just heard him. It's Mr. Jesse Marsh.
Thanks, pal. How are you doing?
Great. And you look great, considering that you landed, I think, at 2 a.m. this morning, Lee. I'm back from Machu Picchu, that Incan citadel high in the Peruvian Andes. Bucket list trip for you. What was the highlight?
My best friend from college, Lee Topar, got married. So he's a 50-year-old man getting married for the first time. So it was that was a true rare moment in life. So I was really happy for him and his wife. So we had a nice time, and then we got to spend some time as a family going to Machu Picchu and cruising around Peru. Beautiful country, really wonderful people. So yeah, my 75th country, Roger. 75th that I've been to, so. Yeah, keep knocking them off.
75 nations this man has managed football clubs in. That is some football journey.
I hope not.
As they say in Peru, Mazel Tov, Lee. I want to know, as a Premier League manager, are you ever able just to shut the phone off and not worry about, you know, everything? Or even when you are off, in the middle of nowhere, are you getting lit up with messages?
I wouldn't say lit up. I mean, we're keeping in contact for some important themes that need to take place for preparation when we get back together. But, you know, I made it. Everybody was kind enough when the Tottenham game was over to say to me, go get away. Especially with how that match ended, I think everybody knew that some little bit of free time for all of us was a good thing. But you know, we're trying to move the needle here every day. And today was our first day of training back, and guys were great. Really good energy. A lot of guys still in really good form. So I expect us to be able to pick off from where we left off.
And I know you've kept up with the World Cup. How was the Peruvian coverage? What was Peruvian Lalas like?
Well, we were watching the U.S.-England match, and, you know, I know a little bit of Spanish, I would say broken, but at one point in the broadcast, in the Peruvian broadcast, they said, Leeds manager Jesse Marsh is in Peru going to Machu Picchu with his family. So somehow the word got out. I mean, you know, the Peruvian people were like everywhere you go and where football's so big. I think they're really disappointed that they didn't qualify. But still, I think a lot of people were rooting on Argentina and Messi.
They are not alone. Jesse, when you watch World Cup football, how do you watch it? Do you watch it as a fan, just taking it in? Are you trying to glean tactical insight, innovations? Or with the January transfer window, are you looking as a prospective shopper of talent?
Yeah, I'd say it's a little bit of everything. International football is so different than club football. It's so much harder for coaches to really implement a style of play and put it all out there. But, you know, I mean, the one thing that I really like watching is just the how different cultures interpret how the game should be played and how they use the emotion and their nationalism to affect their way of playing. So, you know, like watching the Germany-Japan game was amazing, or the Argentina-Mexico game, I thought also with everything that it means for Messi, that was pretty amazing.
I am fascinated by your point. International football is so different to club football. The teams, they're not trained together as much. They've got built-in weaknesses that can't be overcome in the transfer market. When you watch it, you know, can you articulate the difference between club football at the elite level and this international football that we're watching?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would probably say the biggest difference is just the tactical nuances. You know, most teams have a structure of how they play with the ball and how they play against the ball, right? But even the games, sometimes in the later portions of the match, it gets a little bit open and you see more transition moments. But it's almost like a team will have the ball and one team will be defending. And then when they win the ball, they play backwards and they start to get into their build-up phase, and the other team starts to get a little bit more into their defensive phase. And you know that it's the fluidity of the game that is lacking a little bit, and then the tactical nuances of what that means to the fluidity of the game. And it's understandable because these players all come from their club teams playing different ways. Sometimes they play different positions formations than what they play with their club teams. So you get a little bit of these inconsistencies, which means that especially in the initial phases of the tournament, you get more cautious tactics and more cautious play. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, in this last phase here where teams now need results, what that will look like in those matchups.
And in those open moments that you describe as the games progress, it does seem in this World Cup that the teams who are truly excelling are the ones with the pure goal scorers. Do you watch international football and see it really as a game, ultimately, where talent leads?
Yeah, well, you know, I've had a special interest in Cody Gakpo because we really tried to get him here. We may try in the future to bring him here as well, but I'm happy for him that he's scored a couple of goals and showed people that he's a good player. That in turn may mean it's more difficult for us to get him. between coaching in the Bundesliga and now in the Premier League, there's a lot of players that play in those two leagues that are playing in the World Cup for some good teams, and a lot of players that I coached, right? So, when Danny Olmo does well, when Rasmus Christensen, obviously with Tyler and Brendan, and you know, so, but there's different players that I've coached that I'm always rooting for as well. So yeah, I mean, it's always a big stage, right? It's a big stage for these players, especially some of the young players to show what they're all about.
Manager to manager, what coaches have you savored the work of?
I've been in contact a little bit with Hansi Flick just to keep, you know, because he's always was really positive with me, and he's not a friend, but I consider him at least a good colleague, and he's such a good guy and a good coach. So I've watched Germany with intent to see what they're doing. Obviously, the Saudi Arabian coach does a similar halftime video, or they release a video that's somewhat similar to mine in Liverpool. So
Hervé Renard.
I could commiserate with him a little bit on the effects of something like that.
Are we going to see that when you return to Premier League action? Are you going to be doing the open neck shirt down to your belly button, Jesse?
I don't know. I doubt that. I mean, listen, his sex appeal is a little bit different than mine, I think. Roberto Martinez is a guy I've gotten to know a bit. Gareth Southgate, obviously Greg Berhalter. So, you know, I mean, there's, again, you can watch some of the games and see some of the things that teams do or don't do. But then there's also people you know in the business and that you want to see good things happen to.
I've got to ask you quickly about John Herdman's F Croatia.
And we're going to go on F Croatia. That's as simple as it gets.
You are no stranger to the pre-match hype speech. You know, that was either heat of the moment or it was a gentleman trying to protect his star player, Alphonso Davies, who just missed a penalty and have some of the heat go on him. When you saw that, what did you see in that moment for that manager?
Yeah, I mean, I think John has done a good job. He's a good manager with ideas, but he's also built with emotion. So, I mean, I remember being in those World Cup moments. Like, for me, it was maybe Slovenia.
2010.
Where we were down 2-0 at half. And the emotion in the locker room, right, at Ellis Park in Johannesburg, and if anyone could have been in the dressing room, the locker room, and hearing "We're not going down today, boys," you know, the kind of competitive energy, and then trying to make sure that the team was still organized and ready to go out in the second half and do everything we could to fight for our World Cup lives. When you're in those moments, it's about capturing the moment. It's about having your finger on the pulse. It's about motivating. It's about making sure that there's fearlessness. I mean, that's one of the things, even playing in the Prem every week, is like being up for the challenge, knowing at halftime exactly what the appropriate messages are, trying to get all those little motivational, inspirational / tactical adjustments to live in the moment and use your experiences to affect the situation in a positive way. So we don't always do how we would normally act in those moments when emotion and a pressure cooker is involved. It means that sometimes it brings out the best, it brings out the worst in you, but those are important times in your career and in your life.
Godspeed to all of our Canadian listeners. I hope you leave with your head held high. Some journey your Kings of CONCACAF went on, presenting a diverse, kinetic, joyous face of your nation to the world. And I do know John Herdman, wherever he goes after this, is going to do something truly remarkable. But we are 9 days in. Almost every team has played twice as we tape. Whose performances have you found to be most dominant? You know, France, Spain, Brazil.
You know, you could go through each one. France has looked professional, right? It's almost like they've invested the least amount of energy to get the maximum output right now, which in this stage of the tournament is often, for countries like France, important, right? Like, every team has a little bit different outlook. What are they fighting for? To get out of the group stage, to get a point in the group, to win the tournament. So there's different expectations. One of the things for me about Brazil is now it looks like kind of the Samba team that everyone wants it to be. It has the energy, the flair, the dynamicism, the a lot of the things that we all think about Brazil. I think this team, you know, in a mix of youth and experience, this team has potential to entertain and succeed. Obviously, you know, when you watch Argentina, they look like they're a team on a mission for Messi.
Let's dive in to the United States. We have lived an opening game draw, which felt a bit like a loss against Wales, and then a draw against England, which felt like a win. Big picture, what have you made of our boys' performances?
Yeah, I think it's been relatively positive, you know, with a group of young players that have not experienced the tournament before. They've looked confident and clear. I think they've obviously, if they could have managed a way to hold on to the lead or add to the lead, and maybe deliver a little bit better second half against Wales, then maybe the storyline would be a little bit different right now. But in general, I think they should feel well poised to get out of the group and well poised to have a good match against Iran. So it's important that we as fans and as the team don't underestimate what Iran can bring. But if you would have asked me before the tournament started, okay, we have a knockout or a round of 32 game to get us into the 16 against Iran, I would have said, okay, we'll take that. So I think we're in good position, and now we just got to deliver another good performance and our best performance yet.
Other than the boys that play for you, which American gents have caught your eye and why?
Musa. Love that kid. You know, he gets around the pitch. He plays with experience beyond his years. He has flexibility of playing in the eight, playing wide sometimes, being a little bit deeper. He's very athletic and active in the match. He plays very confident. I think he's been outstanding. Anthony Robinson, I think, is a very good player. I think he's done really well for himself. Yeah, but if you were to really break it down for me, Tyler Adams has been outstanding.
This is actually a meeting of the Tyler Adams Appreciation Society. I think other than Tyler Adams' mother, there are very few Americans that adore that man more than you and me, and we will get to Tyler. But I do want to say, watching the boys take on England fearlessly, I watched the game live on Twitch with Matthew McConaughey, and he marvelled at how our midfield buccaneered against their opponents, swarming, pressing, hunting for possession in packs. And we discussed, I was like, oh my God, when you describe them like that, they remind me of your Leeds United.
Yeah, I could see that in some ways. I mean, they're young, they're athletic, they can play with intensity. There's obviously differences, but in general, it's a fun team. It'd be a fun team to coach, you know. And when I say these things, everybody thinks I'm positioning myself, but it's just like looking at it from a perspective of a coach. You could see how fun it would be to work with these young, talented, aggressive, fearless players every day. So yeah, that's good. I mean, good. McConaughey's got, you know, he's developing an eye for football. That's pretty good. It's good to hear.
And I do want to say, when I say they'd be fun to coach, I am positioning myself. And I think McConaughey and Bennett would be one for the future. But perhaps it's not a coincidence that the US remind me a little bit about Leeds, because Tyler Adams is at the heart of both teams. And his performances have been ecstatically elite in this tournament. You know, I spent a year podcasting with him. It's incredible to watch him revel and excel. Even more, when you do remember, and you will remember, he began the year in a lull at Leipzig. He had injuries, limited minutes. He was frustrated. And what a difference 6 months make. You've played no small part in that resurgence. What adjustments from the inside has Tyler Adams made that have allowed him to really, really run a game?
He's, I think, sorted himself out mentally for what his expectation is for his life. It's been so interesting to be a coach. Like, if in Germany in press conferences, they only talk about tactics. Here in press conferences, they just want to talk about the flow of the game and the results, and often the emotion or what the fans' reaction is. Austria was also different. It was a lot about the Red Bull style of play, because so many teams there play with this intensive pressing. So pressing is a big topic of conversation in Austria. The US talks a lot about possession and ball movement. And so different places have different ideas for what the football is. Tyler, for me, when he can play with confidence and intensity and display his athleticism and his intelligence combined, he can be elite. And I knew that. I knew that before he came to Leeds. And the key for me was just having these kinds of conversations to unearth it more and get him on track and then allow him to be himself. So I don't want to take any credit for Tyler. I think he deserves all the credit. But the fit here at Leeds has been really good for him and for us. So I think it's just got him into a place where he's playing with more confidence and belief in himself than he ever has.
He's also wearing the armband. The captaincy is his. In my mind, belatedly, this gent was born to lead. And anyone who watched this morning's press conference, in which he was grilled by Iranian journalist.
You say you support the Iranian people, but you're pronouncing our country's name wrong. Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. You know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. One thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. And obviously it takes longer to understand, and through education I think it's super important, like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
And kept his cool, was intelligent and humble, so smart. And I know the idea of leadership is something that you think about a lot. Can you describe the leadership side of Tyler's game?
He's true to himself. You know, he's for a young man his age, I think he's gotten comfortable with exactly who he is. There's times when you're a footballer that you have to know how to say the right things, but say them in a way that represents yourself. And then there's other times where you just have to say what you think. And his balance of kind of understanding how to do that and get that balance right and represent himself in both ways is really, really good. So he's a smart kid. I think people underestimate how intelligent he is. In this world, there aren't as many professional football players who have had as good an upbringing, had as good a education as what he's had, and I think he and his family are grounded in all the things that matter in life, not just in football. So he's special. I texted him before the match and I said to him, the day I saw him when he was 15 years old playing with the U-17s, I literally that day envisioned him captaining the World Cup team. And that's no bullshit. I mean, that is when I saw that young man play at that age, I could see the building blocks of something really special. Just presence on the pitch, understanding of what were good plays, what were bad plays, ability to communicate with his teammates in ways that were real, you know, just an ease to his everything, every motion. There was like no wasted motion on the pitch as a 15-year-old. And for me, it was like, wow, if I could just have a chance to help guide that to be what a vision of what I think it could be. You know, and that's often, this is the beauty of young players and then the experiences that you can have if you've been in this business a long time, is you can take all of the different people and players that you've either played with or played against or worked with or seen, and you can start to create these little like building blocks and pathways of the potential of what that person, given their gifts and talents and limitations, and how to see where that can end up at its best. So that's almost what I enjoy the most, other than match day and like, you know, having big wins and big moments, but like the connection you can make with people to really help them be their best. That's what is often the most fun.
Oh, Tyler Adams, his one weakness that I've found so far is his choice in podcasting partners. But as buccaneering as the United States have played in the first half against Wales and for so much of that England game, the stat which is haunting, just two shots on goal. We've had possession, a lot of it in dangerous areas, but we've not created chances. How do you analyse that? Is that just inexperience? Is it lack of composure in key moments? Is it a challenge of execution?
Like I said, the games have been cautious, right? Because teams don't want to give points away. They want to keep themselves in the mix until that third game. And the U.S. hasn't been behind yet in the tournament. And hopefully, you know, who knows, maybe they never will be. but often when you're behind is when you have to push the game and push the tempo and take more risks. And I think for the most part in the first two games, they've been able to play intelligently and play the opponent, but also play the match situation in a way where keeping themselves protected has been vital. Again, let's see. You know, I mean, the Japan game against Germany, Japan didn't have much until they needed to get more out of it, you know, and then they were able to push the game recklessly because they had nothing to lose. I thought the Spain-Germany match was relatively dull and cautious until Spain scored. And then Germany had to introduce more urgency and take more risks. So that's what I'm trying to describe a little bit, both tactically and then situationally, why the tournament has played out the way that in many ways it has so far.
And Saudi Arabia clipping Argentina in the same way, having to come back from that goal behind. And that is something I love your vision that maybe we will never know how this US team plays a goal down. May that long continue.
Which is the opposite of 2010, where we went down like every game.
Within minutes.
It's the most wonderful time on the footballing calendar. What a footballing feast we've got stretched out before us. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is where to go to bet on the tournament. New customers can bet just $5 on any team and get $150 in free bets if your pre-game moneyline bet wins. Free bets are the best kind of bets. And for even more action, go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, toggle on the same game parlay feature, and combine multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code MIB, kick in $5 on any team and get $150 in free bets if your pregame moneyline bet wins. That's code MIB only at DraftKings Sportsbook. 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus issued as free bets. See state-specific responsible gambling resources and terms at DraftKings.com/soccer. Omega is a proud sponsor of Men in Blazers coverage of the 32 Nation Tournament. Business owners, this could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit for overpayment of payroll taxes during the pandemic. Omega Accounting Solutions is a trusted business advisor that works with integrity to maximize your ERC refunds. Call Omega now at 800-704-2000 to discover how much you can get back, or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com. Filing begins to close March 31st, 2023. So find out if you qualify today with a quick, easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation. Omega's funding division, Omega Funding Solutions, offers small businesses bridge loans to help you keep your business afloat while you wait for your refund. Call 800-704-2000 to get started, or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
I want to touch upon a couple of players very quickly. Christian Pulisic, a different player when he wears an American jersey. And I read an interview with you where you said, I don't know him well enough, but I'd love to get to know him more because I can see so much potential in there. And I often wonder how to tap into it. How have you analysed his tournament? And what are your thoughts about how to tap into our gent Christian?
Yeah, I think he's been good. I think... you know, even Berhalter referenced after the last game that they were asking him to be a little bit more defensive tactically when they played more like a 4-2-2-2 against the ball, which maybe doesn't get him in the positions to attack quite as much. But I think he's been effective in games. I think he's been disciplined. I think, you know, obviously his assist was very good in the first match. So, you know, I think overall it's been a positive. Obviously, we want a little bit more from all of our attacking guys right now, and to be a little bit more dangerous and see if we can find ways to be a little bit more of a threat. And that will be necessary in this Iran game for sure.
Brendan Aaronson, for me, pound for pound, the most potent attacking American threat on the men's side. Just 37 minutes played in this World Cup. You know him so well. The kid, the Leeds fans call Yank Badger. What will he be experiencing on the bench, so potent, but unable to really help his team?
He accepts the role fully. You know, he's still young, and he knows it's a good group, it's a good team. He's done well for himself, and I think well enough that he should be the first option off the bench, and he can wrap his mind around that role, and I think do a really good job in it. Obviously, if he were to start on any given day, he can do a job, and he understands, and he's a good player, and he can help the team. So I think that's what's most important. And even when I, you know, texted to Brendan before the tournament started, that was one of the things I said to him, is don't worry about what your role is. Just commit to the team, give everything you have. The World Cup is a special moment. Believe in the group, believe in the coach. And now when you're called upon, be ready to make an impact in every way that you possibly can. And you don't, you know, Brendan doesn't require big reminders like that. He's such a good kid. He's a team player all the way, and he'll do whatever it takes. So yeah, obviously the two games I'm watching, I'm like, make a sub. Make a sub, get him on, right? Because I love the kid so much, but I know that he'll be ready in any role that he's needed.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't want to hijack your interview, but when McConaughey and Bennett are American coaches, we will be making subs. We'll be subbing Brendan in inside the first 10 minutes. But okay, Tuesday, I'm always lobbying. Tuesday is an enormous game. The biggest men's clash our American boys have had in 8 long years. And Iran playing this World Cup in the shadow of true geopolitical domestic turmoil are still on the field, a collective fist. They can hurt opponents. Their players are motivated by the chaos and turmoil in their nation. Sardar Azmoun of Leverkusen and Mehdi Taremi of Porto, they are some heck of a challenge at the offensive end. What should we fear most about their play?
Yeah, I would think about the good play in the counter-attacking situations, right, which they showed against Wales. I think they also showed discipline, tactical discipline, and keeping things tight. They haven't given, obviously against England, they get opened up a little bit, but against Wales, I thought that they were pretty solid, didn't give much away. So for them, it's always interesting in these situations. Playing for a tie is the worst thing you can do because it almost guarantees a loss, right? So I think they still have to find their opportunities to be aggressive and to command the game with the ball and certainly to get out in transition. Our ability to counter-press and stay stable when we have the ball will be of the utmost importance so that they don't get out on the transition. An early goal either way could really make this game interesting. Certainly an early goal for us would be the best case scenario, because I think the more that Iran was asked to have to come out and play, the more that we could be effective in the things that we want to do. A fast start for the U.S. I think will be really important.
A lot about this game is going to be about the mental mindset of the U.S. boys when they take the field. And there's a couple of things you said that I found really interesting. You said there's an identity of fearlessness and belief in U.S. teams. They're too young to be afraid, too young to know better. But you've also said that we as Americans are sometimes guilty of an arrogance because we expect to get out the group, and those expectations are far too high sometimes. How do you take a team, Jesse, after a positive result and let them find that balance by drawing strength from it, yes, but not taking too much strength that it turns into overconfidence?
This group has an inner belief, right? I think it's stemmed in their talent, but it's also stemmed in the fact that they're almost all from, you know, a younger age group. They've been, some of them have played in youth tournaments together. They've, you know, most of them are flying back and forth from Europe, and they see each other in Champions League games or in league matches. There's an identity to the group about being unified, and believing in themselves at a young age. So, you know, there's a lot of little storylines you could create about the geopolitical stuff, about the history of the countries, about, you know, the makeup of their team, the makeup of our team. In the end, I think the focus on the match itself and tactically what it will require will be the most important thing. And then to commit to it and go for it and not worry about making mistakes, to play, to go after the game. These things are for me, vital, vital. And in the end, you know, if you want to draw it back to the experience we had in 2010,
yes,
I think that's what helped us more than anything. Is the group had been together for a while. They believed in each other. They believed in the way we were trying to play, and they felt that no matter what, we could figure it out. We could find a way, and I think that'll be certainly important come Tuesday.
So you're talking 2010, and to make it completely clear to our listeners, back then, which still seems so fresh to you, to me, to many of us, but for some of our listeners feels like an eternity ago, the US need a win tomorrow. And in 2010, they were in an identical position, third group stage game. Then they faced Algeria, and you were Bob Bradley's right-hand man as an assistant US coach, and we all paid witness to Landon Donovan's 91st minute heroics, but you did so right there from the bench.
Yeah.
What was the most important lesson you took from that incredible experience that we can all learn from?
Well, first, I have a little story that I've never told, okay? We stayed at the Bakubung Reserve, they called it, where like there was like a safari park. And on the outside of the park, they would sell these like tourist trinkets, you know, sometimes like an African mask or like a little carved wooden giraffe. And so I just was kind of looking at some of these things before heading back to our hotel. And a woman came up and gave me a little wooden elephant, and it had its trunk up. And she said, "This is good luck." I said, "Okay, how much is it?" And she said, No, I want you to have this. This is for you. I want you to have it." So I was like, "Okay." I had it in my pocket when we were playing against England. And I don't believe in superstition or luck. I truly am not like, I don't believe in these things. But I had this thing in my pocket, and then I was rubbing it. And then it was 1-1. And then we were down 2-0 against Slovenia, and I was rubbing the thing like crazy. And we came back 2-2. We actually won 3-2. They called the goal back. And then it was the same, you know, now it's even against Algeria. And now I'm whittling that thing down to like a toothpick, right? And so even when we scored, like if you were to look careful, like I sort of jump up, but I jump up with one arm because I want to make sure that the elephant that I'm rubbing in my pocket, that I don't lose it or throw it away, because I knew that I was going to, I didn't want to lose it. I knew I was going to need it.
Where's the elephant now, Jesse?
I have it. I don't use it anymore. After that tournament, I kind of retired it, but I have it in my collection of different things that I have at home. And where is home now these days? Well, yeah, that's always a good discussion.
We gotta get the bloody elephant to Qatar, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we should. But nonetheless, you know, I mean, yeah, when you do this for a long time, you have a lot of these moments where in big games you score last minute goals, or sometimes you give them up. But in the, you know, in a moment like that in 2010, the emotion, the feeling of accomplishment. Right. It's so big. And then quickly thinking about, okay, there's still 3-4 minutes left in the match. Do we need to make a sub? How do we make sure we hold on to this? Like, you know, because the worst thing you can ever do in those situations is give a goal right back. So, but yeah, that was certainly a big moment. I can only imagine, you know, I've seen some interviews with Landon talking about it over the last couple of weeks. For someone like Landon Donovan, to know that he could have such an effect on a nation, like the energy that brought to an entire nation, what an incredible feeling it must be for a guy like him. And so what we're all looking for out of the World Cup and out of our team is, I think, inspiration, right? Is this commitment to do whatever it takes, and the moments, right? The readiness to seize the moment. So here we go. Here we have Tuesday.
One of these gents, please God, will seize the moment. And I love, if Clint Dempsey's listening to this, he thought he got an assist on that Landon Donovan goal. It turns out it was all the elephant. And last one on the US team for you, because there's something you said recently that gives all of this World Cup journey real context. You said they don't want to talk about it right now, but in reality, this World Cup's just a stepping stone for the team going into 2026. It's a foolish thing to even say out loud, but can we be contenders at home? To even say it is ridiculous, but we do think this is a golden generation of players. We think that on pure potential, it's the best group we've ever had. Can they develop? Can they grow in a way where in 3.5 years, they can be talked about as semi-finalists, finalists? And I love that dream, Jesse, that you set out to The Athletic. And thousands of us across America have yearned for that. You framed it as a question. What has to happen to make it real? Can it be?
I thought the article was good, but the tone I didn't want is to take away from this team now, you know, because obviously this moment and this World Cup is where we are, and we want the best for these guys, and we want them to live out their dream now. However, yeah, I think that this experience has, in terms of a talking point, has potential to galvanize and gather momentum for them to be really, really good come 2026. At home, one of the things that you can't underestimate is also being at the top of pot A you know, as the home nation. And I don't know exactly how they're going to figure it out with Mexico and Canada and how everyone's going to fulfill their seeding brackets and how it'll look. But I would guess that the U.S. would be at the forefront of that and have the potential to be in that position, which gives you, just from a competitive perspective, a better chance to have a manageable group, which can then set you up to potentially achieve in the knockout phases. There's also, I believe, the talk that it'll be an expanded tournament, right? Is that correct?
Yep, correct. Correct, yeah. 48 teams.
So that could throw a little bit in the mix. But in general, for this group of players, that I think a lot of the core are similar age group and will be in theory at their prime, and then have four more years of Champions League football at big clubs in Europe under their belt, which can only lead to, I think, bigger, more development, bigger experiences, more readiness. You would like to believe that we'd be poised for something special, but that'll be the goal. That'll be the role of every individual, and certainly of the leaders within the federation.
There's so much brilliant football as we come down to the stretch of the Premier League season. But if you're a Premier League neutral who wants a little bit of that title race excitement, check out Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can get in on the action and win up to 100 times your cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across our nation, including California, Texas, and Georgia. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. It's that easy. You can also mix and match players from several leagues across the globe, as well as other sports like basketball and hockey. That's right, Prize Picks. Essentially a utopia where polysport action can live and breathe. I'm talking Washington Caps, Everton, and Chicago Bulls action all at once in the face. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long-time staple in the Bennett refrigerator. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites, in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend. Have the coffee house experience and the comfort of your own home, and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. Oh, quick one on England, who face a local showdown of their own against Wales, a game with centuries of history crackling away in the background as the players take the field. England, blessed with so much attacking talent. Harry Kane, Saka, Sterling, Foden, Grealish, Callum Wilson, Jude Bellingham. And balance is the key to any team, especially true in international football. Do you believe England can find it?
Yeah, I think England has a really good team. I haven't been in England for the World Cup. I've been outside, but in the last, you know, even being around here at our training ground today and talking about the games and seeing the way it's been reported when I've been away, and I think there's a calmness, which isn't always easy to achieve with England and the media and everything else. But I think it's partly Gareth's leadership and his personality, you know, but I think there's been a calmness to this team, like obviously expectation, but I think a workmanlike mentality to the way that they've tried to go about their business, which I think will be a benefit to them. I think the community here in England, I think, wanted to see a better performance against the US I think there was a respect level for what the U.S. is and how they played. But I think that that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like, just kind of step by step going through the group phase and staying calm and not picking up injuries and not overexerting yourself physically can, again, be a recipe to get out of the group for a team like England and then to get stronger as the tournament goes on.
You're back in Leeds. What's your day-to-day like as a manager in this strange, really unprecedented mid-season lull?
Similar to always, coming, getting in here early, try to be the first one in the building. You know, everything from preparing group video to individual video to getting training prepared to making sure that we maximize every experience that they're having in the gym and in training every day, to have the right kinds of conversations with guys to know, make sure they're clear on where they are in the moment, where they need to continue to move forward, to grow, reinforcing the message. One of the big messages today was to have urgency. And even though it's our first day back and we have 4 weeks until we play our first match, that our first match will be against what I think is the best team in the world. So we have to train and behave every day like our preparation is for such a match. So Man City at home will be a big game for us, a very difficult match. But this is kind of, as much as anything, I think when you're a manager at this level, you become an expert in managing high performance environments. And that's what I think makes the difference, right? It's not all, obviously the tactics and the style of play and all those things are incredibly important, but it's about managing the environment in a way that gets the most out of everybody. And that's what I try to do.
I love that urgency on day one back when there's no game for 4 weeks. And when you said you were playing the best team in the world for a second, I was like, oh my God, are you playing Everton again? final one, back
no
to
comment,
the World Cup.
No comment, like, Roger.
Smart
no
man, comment. Thank God. Like, let's just leave it at that. And I do want to end by asking you, how is it going to go tomorrow? Where on the field will it be won or lost, Jesse?
I think that we will command the game, that our defenders' ability to stay tuned in to where their attacking players are at all moments will be incredibly important. I want to see us do better with set pieces. Against England, I thought some of Christian's service was really good, but the dynamic runs in the box and the aggressiveness to attack and win balls, and they allowed Harry Maguire to just clear too many. So
Everything.
Yeah.
Harry Maguire's
I still
head
think
on everything.
That a U.S. team in the World Cup needs to be effective in set pieces. So I hope that we see more dynamic play in that area of the game.
It's the one area you can truly control and prepare for, right? I mean, it's a gift in international football.
And then I think, you know, I want our attacking players to be freer, to go after things a little bit more, to go 1v1 more in the box, to be aggressive in the last third, to play a little bit more with confidence and belief that they are going to make a difference on the day, right? And if we can do that and we can be stable in the back and effective on set pieces, we will win this game. So that will be key for me.
I love that message. Jesse Marsh, it is such a joy to be with you at this remarkable time for world football and for the game in our nation. We'll speak again soon with the United States still in the hunt, I pray. Until then, Godspeed.
Thanks, pal. Good to talk to you.
What a bloke. What an honour and a joy to pod with him in this moment at the Men's World Cup. Massive day for the United States tomorrow. Massive day for Men in Blazers. We are in Austin, Texas. Best Austin since Charlie. And tomorrow we'll live Twitch the Iran epic clash. Over 500,000 of you joined us for the last American match day. Let's go again with the mighty John Green. Oh, the fault is in our stars. My mate Ariel Helwani of UFC Gripple Grapple fame. And the great Frankie Hayduck, who played Iran back in 1998 when we crapped the bed with the world watching. And then we'll take the stage tomorrow night in Austin at City Limits with wonderful guests, the Black Pumas, Adrian Quesada and James Van Der Beek of Dawson Creek legend. Tickets for that available at meninblazers.com. Come celebrate with us. Whatever the result, let's make World Cup memories together and enjoy tomorrow, America. Let's believe. I raise my bud and say, courage. Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.